So, Mr. Sloof from Holland, you just completed the lab, the VDM lab. You also did some homework. I have heard that you have built your own VDM lab. What do you think about the product?
What to say about VDM? I think it's quite a rudimentary product. It's very simple and easy to set up and very simple and easy to use. But as a former Citrix person who expects lots of features to be available, both on the client side and the server side, those features just don't exist right now. But it does the job. Users get their desktop. But I think we'll be looking for more sophisticated options, perhaps with something like Thin Install being integrated into the VDM package, which would make it more attractive than that being something that's separate. At the moment, we don't have a VMware version of Thin Install. It'd be nice if we had that and if that was rolled into VDM. And I also think the storage problems that we have with VDI generally will be addressed in the roadmap with just ways of basically having less volume of disk space being eaten up by our virtual machines that are running VDM. So verdict on VDM, I see it as a version 1 rather than a version 2 product. Even though it officially has a version 2 kind of entry to it. But that's my impression at the moment.
And things like the USB redirection and automatic provisioning are two great advantages of other simple products who only map a user to a desktop.
Yeah, I mean, one of the things I've been playing around with just now is the admin rights to get USB working. So I need to be the administrator of my local machine, the actual physical client, and also I need to be administrator of my virtual machine as well. Not administrator at the domain, but to that virtual machine. And I think a lot of corporates will have problems with that because the amount of rights and privileges to make USB work within VDM are very high. And it's not like you can just set it up with high privileges to get it working and then log the user out and log them in as an ordinary user. If you don't have those privileges, you're not going to get USB devices working, which you don't have that restriction with Citrix USB redirection in a presentation server or ZenApp server or whatever Citrix are calling their product right at the moment. But yeah, a USB is a particular challenge. The other thing I've noticed just with the course that we're doing this week is there's nothing said about printing at all. And that really has to be one of the biggest pain points, not just in VDI, but in terminal services environments and in Citrix. At least with a Citrix Metaframe server, you've got a universal print driver that ships for free as the part of the product. There's no such universal print driver in VDM. So your customers are going to have to go out and source things like ThinPrint or UniPrint to keep those print jobs small enough that they can be used across a wide area network.
Or just connect a local printer to the USB port.
Yeah, so then we would have the combination of huge device drivers that create huge print jobs and extra admin rights just to get it working. So let's just say VDM is a product that needs a lot of finessing within the next year and a half, I think. But I think there was a big expectation that with VMware acquiring VDM from another company that they would be offering something extra on top of what... what was the name of the product called originally?
Propero.
Propero was offering. But it's almost like Propero had more features than VDM, and some of the features that Propero used to offer, like VNC connections, no longer exist. Okay. So you're forced to use RDP, whether you like it or not. That said, I think RDP is probably better than VNC anyway, but it's just an opportunity of flexibility that was in the original product before it was acquired by VMware is now being removed, which is a bit of a disappointment, I think.
Talking about these protocols, you mentioned ICA, you mentioned VNC, you mentioned RDP. We're still waiting for the new protocol, Net2Display. Finally, it's going to be a battle of the protocols because the user wants to see real-time video, and the best protocol will eventually win. Do you think so?
Yeah, I mean, who produces Net2Display? Is that who produces?
It's Visa right now. Phase off.
Okay, and I know that Microsoft bought Calista, What I've experimented with on with other protocols is HP's RGS. But the problem with HP's RGS is that it only works on HP equipment, and it's expensive, too expensive to make it viable for lots of desktop users. But I think you're right. The real big problem is with graphics display, with all of these thin client-based protocols. And if you want to deliver a super rich environment that includes media and web stuff, Flash and whatnot, RDP is just not going to deal with that. And to be fair, neither does ICA. It does a better job of it, but it's still not as good. And that's why I think we've seen the rise in the last 2 or 3 years of Windows XP embedded on dumb terminals, because people are using a local player to stream their media services and a local web browser to get to the internet. They're delivering to that dumb terminal things like Word and Excel and PowerPoint, potentially, that don't have the same level of graphics requirement. But as an example, I've got a customer in the UK, which is a hospital. What they want to do is distribute X-rays and magnetic resonance scans through the network, not through putting them in envelopes and on trolleys. You just can't do that with RDP, and you can't do it with ICA. The time it takes to render that image, you could have put it in an envelope and sent it to somebody. So you're right. I think we need a client protocol that's designed for VDI, designed for clients rather than for TS environments like we have already. I believe VMware will write their own protocol. It's not in any roadmap, but I think there's enough customer demand and enough people saying, why when I connect with VDI or VDM do I have to use RDP? Why isn't there a protocol from VMware? I don't think we'd get anybody here at VMware admitting to that right now. But I wouldn't be surprised is the phrase I use for this kind of stuff. So I wouldn't be surprised if VMware do write their own protocol. Whether that'll be better than Net2Display or Callista is debatable. And I think if people are connecting to a Windows 2009 desktop in years to come, maybe that protocol won't be RDP anymore, but it'll be Callista. But I wonder whether people want to give Microsoft even more money to have that particular protocol license. Depends whether Microsoft wrap that in to the client like they did with Windows XP and with Vista, or whether they make it a feature that's only available in an enterprise edition. We really don't know what the future holds with these protocols, but I wouldn't be surprised if VMware writes their own.
Okay, we wait and see what happens. One last question. I know you're going to avoid an answer, but where is the book? I heard that the book is...
We seek it here, we seek it there, we seek it almost everywhere. We had hoped in Cannes to actually have the book on Amazon to pre-order, but unfortunately that didn't pan out. What we do have at the moment is an author's edition, which I know... Didn't I send you a link to get hold of that? Which we're passing around the great and good, including Mr. Sleuth, who's regarded as the great and good. But I think a lot of people don't realise, and I must admit, certainly I didn't realise this time last year, how long the process is of taking something you write in a file to it being something that you can buy on the shelf in a bookshop. I had no idea at all. And to be fair, Ron and Scott have taken all that pain away from me. It's Ron and Scott have done all the work to get the book out there, along with Brian Madden. All they asked me to do was write. So I have been sheltered and shielded from the nightmares of their issues. But to give your listeners an idea of some of the things that you end up doing, you might be surprised by this, is say I write a book in Word. When I pass that on to a publisher, the first thing the publisher does is highlight all that text and cuts it and paste it into Notepad, stripping all the formats off. And then they highlight and cut and paste that raw text into a DTP package like Quark Express. And then somebody sits with those two windows open, a Quark Express window open and Word open, and they put all the formats back in. Now, you and me would go, whoa, that's crazy. But that's how publishing works.
Okay.
If I'd known that, I would have written it directly in Quark.
Yeah, sure.
But I wasn't... this is the first ever book I've ever been involved in writing. I think now that Ron and Scott have both written two books now, I think we are seriously looking at in the future that it'll be electronic delivery.
Okay.
Because the turnaround time in writing a book and then getting it on the shelf, with the windows of when new software comes out, before you finish writing, or as you're writing,
there's
a new version of that software. And yes, we have released a PDF of, I wrote, 80 pages of what's new in 3.5.
Yeah.
But the irony of that is our what's new guide is actually out and downloadable before the actual book is. So, and we recognise that, but unfortunately we're not in control of that publishing process.
Okay.
So it's something I'm seriously looking at, and where I think we'll all be looking at is print on demand. Because this Lulu thing that we've been doing to get the author's edition out has been far more
efficient,
rapid. than the conventional method. But right now what we've got to focus on is getting that book out as soon as possible. So. Yeah. Yeah, if I had a dollar for every email and every person who came up to me, when's the book coming out, I'd be a rich man. In fact, I'd probably make more money out of getting a dollar for each of those emails than I will from actually the book being published and selling it.
Okay.
So, you know, it's an occupational hazard, unfortunately, and I just have to accept that people like yourself will go, "Hey, Mike, where's this freaking book?" And I'm like, oh, God.
Not again.
Not again. But that's a state of play. I won't make any promises about when it will be out because I've done that before on a couple of times. The book will be out by such and such a time. And it's probably best if I just keep my mouth shut and let Ron and Scott get their nose into it and get that book out now. And there are free sample chapters on vi3book.com and people can see the what's new. I think in the longer run, we will be looking at a second edition. I don't know when, but once the book is frozen and is out there on the shelf, my next task is taking the 80 pages of what's new and integrating that into the existing book.
Okay, for a second reprint.
For a second reprint. But it'll purely be dependent on demand. If there isn't demand for a second edition, it is always cheaper to put a PDF of erratas and what's new on a website than it is to go through this process all over again of stripping out those formats and reformatting it again. So it's definitely been a learning curve, shall I say that, the whole book experience. I heartily recommend anybody who wants to have sleepless nights and weeping to have a go at writing a book. If that's what floats your boat, I would recommend it to you.
Okay, I've been speaking to Mike Leverick, RTFM Education. Mike, many thanks for the interview.
Thank you very much. Thank you.